The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." God has a gift. He wants to give it to everybody. It's a gift of eternal life. It's a simple message. Even a child could understand it. The first thing that Adam tried to do when him and Eve had sinned was to cover themselves up. The Bible says they sewed together fig leaves and they tried to cover up their own sin. But the Bible tells us that God, in this verse, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Skins are from animals. It required death. We see the same thing when Cain and Abel. Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground of an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God had respect for a sacrifice, for a substitute lamb. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. God has no respect for those who try to earn salvation. These are the first two generations in the Bible. What about the Tower of Babel? Let's move forward just a little bit in time. They said, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto where?" What are these people trying to do? They're trying to literally build a tower. They're trying to work real hard to get to heaven. But what did God do? The Bible says, "Go to, let us go down," the Trinity, God, "and there confound their language." The Bible says, "The Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth." We see another example of salvation in the Bible where the children of Israel had turned their back on God. And the Lord said, "You know what? You have to be judged." And he sent fiery serpents into the camp. Is anybody familiar with this story? The Lord actually sent fiery serpents into the camp of the Israelites. And when the serpents would bite the Israelites, they would die. God told Moses, he says, "Put a serpent up on a pole. Take one of these serpents, put them up on a pole, raise the pole really high, and tell the people three words. Look and live." The Bible says that when somebody beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. People say, "You preach easy believism, Brother Powell." Independent Fundamental Baptists preach that it's easy to be saved. It's as simple as looking to Christ. It is as simple as looking to Christ. God said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The Bible says, if you want to be saved, look to Jesus. Don't look to Jesus and the baptism. Some people say, "Well, Brother Powell, I've got to give up my sins. I've got to turn over a new leaf and trust in Jesus to take me to heaven." Look, the Bible says, "If it be of grace, then it is no more work. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of work, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Salvation is either by faith or works. The Bible tells us that at the end of time, when everybody stands before Jesus, Jesus said, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful..." What's the last word there? What are these people trusting to take them to heaven? Trusting their works. "Lord, we've prophesied. We've cast out devils." I know people that say, "I've cast out devils in Jesus' name. That's why I know I'm saved." No, that's arrogant. The Bible says, "No flesh should glory in his presence." If I say I'm going to heaven because I'm a great person, I go to church every week and I tithe to the offering, which I should, that's arrogant, right? If I said, "Lord, I'm going to go to heaven because I've kept the faith." No, Jesus kept the faith. The Bible says he's the one who endured the cross, despised the shame. He's the one who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus deserves the glory. Now notice what Jesus says to these people who are trusting in their works. "The many, broad is the way which leadeth to destruction." Notice what Jesus said to them. Jesus says, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you." Now what if I said, "Brother Tom, I never knew you"? I would be lying, right? Because I know who you are. What if Jesus tells somebody that's damned on judgment day, "I never knew you"? What does that mean? It doesn't mean that they got saved and lost it. It means they were people that Jesus never knew. Jesus never knew them. They were never in the family of God to begin with. He didn't say, "Well, I don't know you anymore. You lost it. You lost this salvation." No, the Bible says, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ." That's what the Bible actually says. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Many people say, well, Mr. Powell, you're preaching a license to sin. This is what they accuse the Apostle Paul of too. You're saying that you can get away with all this sin, that you can live however you want and still be saved. Well, the Bible says that if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. So these are people that are living in sin. This is an exact comparison. Then will I visit their transgression with the what? The rod. What does a father do when his son or daughter messes up? He disciplines them. But what kind of father would abandon their child? See, people that teach a works-based salvation, they teach you can lose it. Really, what they're saying is it comes down to works that keep you saved. Because they're trusting their own reformation, they're trusting their own goodness, and they're trusting that, well, as long as I don't turn my back on God. Some guy said, Matt, I'm not going to turn my back on God, so he doesn't turn his back on me too. Man, who are you worshiping? That's a false Christ. That's not the Christ of the Bible. And we're going to get into that a little bit more here in a minute. It says, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness. This is what God says. He says, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break. So when you're saved, the Bible says you're born again. Can you be unborn once you're born? Do you know why Jesus used permanent examples throughout the Bible of being saved? Because he's showing that it's a permanent salvation. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. They say, well, you're preaching a license to sin. No, false. People that are saved, catch this. People that are saved cannot get away with sin. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But who does get away with sin? The unsaved. They're going to get away with it until they die and go to hell, right? God's not going to punish someone who's not his child. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that God, that as the man chasteneth his son, so shall the Lord thy God chasten thee. Look, Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. I might turn my back on God. I might do what the Bible says and commit sin, but the Bible says God will punish me and chasten me. But whoso cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what Jesus said. He says, in no wise, no matter what, in that moment, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when you receive the gift of eternal life. It's an everlasting redemption. This is a fundamental of faith. This is a fundamental of the Bible. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. If I said, Francis, I'm going to give you this iPhone. It's got 40%. It never will go below 40%. It will never die. It's an everlasting iPhone. What if I gave it to her and it died? What did I just do? I lied. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son of God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not that it's a record of eternal life, right? That's what the Bible says. So if you say, well, Jesus is saving me temporarily, Jesus is saving me until I stop believing, the Bible says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What if I believed that my dad wasn't my dad? Would I no longer be his son? What if I believe God's no longer my father, but he's my father? Am I no longer his son? The Bible says, as a father chasteneth his son, so shall the Lord your God chasten thee. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. The Old Testament says, it is he that goeth with thee. He will not forsake thee. The Bible says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those are powerful words. Jesus said, if you're saved, you shall not come into condemnation. He says, I love you. I will never forget you. And if you go to hell, it's only because he never knew them. I never knew you is what he said. He didn't say, I used to know you. And you lost it. You fell away. Look, it's not about my endurance. It's not about my commitments. Jesus was committed. Jesus was the one who endured. It's about Christ. It's not about our goodness. And people typically get offended when I preach this, because a lot of times people want to feel like they have something to do with getting themselves to heaven, because it feels good. It does feel good to say, well, I'm a co-savior with the Lord. I can keep my salvation if I just stay on the path. But what did Jesus say? He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you see how salvation is a one-time thing? You come to Jesus Christ, you eat of the bread of life. In the Old Testament, when they put the blood on the doorpost of the house, how many times did they have to do that before the death angel would pass over? One time. How many times did they have to cross through the Red Sea on dry ground, and then the Egyptians were killed behind them? How many times did they have to pass through?
Once.
People say, once saved, always saved. It's the most popular Christian doctrine that leads so many to hell. No, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose some of them. Some of them will lose their salvation. No, he says, that all that he's given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me. This is God's will, that everyone which seeth the Son, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself, and believeth on him, trusts in Jesus, says, Lord, I'm not a good person, but I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. That's the kind of attitude God's looking for. He says, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Jesus says that you should just trust him. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Like we covered, it's everlasting. He'd be a liar if it wasn't eternal. He says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And a lot of people will say, well, what if I want to jump out of his hand? What if I really want to get away from God and jump out of his hand? Well, here's the thing. The Bible says, no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Are you a man or a woman or a human? If you're a person, you cannot be plucked out of the Father's hand. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It is the gift of God, the Bible says. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until you mess up, until you lose your salvation. No, that's not what this says. He says you are sealed until the day of redemption, being born again. You can't be unborn, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So not only have we been born again, we've been born of incorruptible seed. Oh, I can be corrupted. I can turn my back and stop believing. Well, since so many people say that it's a popular doctrine, I know I didn't have a lot of time to prepare this message, but I did go to some of the websites of different denominations. Let's see what the popular doctrine is. Let's see what most people, 90% of Christianity actually believes. This is from the Catholic Church's website. They say, while salvation is a gift, it requires our effort. Now, is that a gift? That's on their website. When we willingly break the bond of charity with Christ, we lose our salvation. Here's from the Pentecostal Church of God. It says, man can at any time after the new birth experience turn away from God and die in a state of sin with the consequences of hell to look forward to. So the Pentecostal Church is saying that as long as we keep on the path, as long as we keep enduring, let me tell you something. For sake of time, we're going to move very quickly. Pay close attention, folks. This is very important. Saul, in the Bible, turned his back on Jesus. Everybody here probably knows the story. He turned his back on our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that he went and besought a witch. And the witch raised up Samuel from the dead. You know, getting into familiar spirits and all that stuff, that's evil. Our culture loves that. They think they're fascinated by it. The Bible tells us that that's evil. We shouldn't be doing Ouija boards and all this weird stuff. The Bible says that Saul is in heaven. Saul committed suicide. Jesus' blood was enough to keep Saul, who committed suicide, who turned his back on God, who said, you know what? This isn't worth it. God had the power to keep Saul saved, and he's in heaven right now. The Bible says that Samson, who committed suicide, people always say, Matt, I have to endure to the very end. I have to endure. Notice the wording. Guy told me, Brother Powell, I love what you're doing with creation science, but you're not preaching the full gospel. I said, well, the full gospel, what's that? He says, well, I believe that to be saved, you got to stop smoking. And trust in Jesus. You know what he's trusting? Not Jesus. He's trusting as long as he doesn't smoke. Some people say, well, I stopped drinking, so I'm going to heaven. They're trusting, not drinking. Some people say, well, to prove that you're really saved, you got to do good works. You know who does a lot of good works? The Mormon church. Some of the most moral people I've ever met have been Mormons. You have to feel sorry for your sins, Matt. You have to really feel a godly sorrow. You should feel a godly sorrow. But Judas, who was never saved, felt sorry for his sins, the Bible says. Who was never saved. Works are not a test of salvation. The test of salvation is when you open up the Bible and you ask somebody, what do you think it takes to go to heaven? And if somebody says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to his cross I cling. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and all sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all of their guilty stains, past, present, and future. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He won't even impute my future sins unto me, as far as my salvation is concerned. Samson died by committing suicide. But guess where he is? He's in the cloud of witnesses. Why? Because he's good? No. Why'd he make it to heaven? Because he looked to Jesus. He trusted Jesus. He knew he couldn't make it to heaven on his own. Pentecostal Church of God. Very sad. Jehovah's Witness. A person who has been saved from sin but fails to keep exercising faith could lose out on salvation. Did you know that the original reason that us Baptists considered Jehovah's Witness a cult was because they believed they could lose their salvation because they were preaching this? That was the original purpose. That was the original reason that we thought. But now, as fundamental Baptists, sometimes different ones will embrace other denominations, say they're all saved. Look, if they don't believe God's given us eternal life, if they think they are temporarily redeemed, are they saved? No. If you think God is going to save your soul temporarily until I mess up, you've made it about yourself. Here's from the Methodist Church. Our church teaches that we can end up losing the salvation God has begun in us. And the consequence of this in the age to come is our eternal destruction in hell. Again, all of these other denominations, what do they preach? The same thing, that you can lose your salvation, that it's not eternal, that it's not everlasting. They're denying a fundamental orthodox doctrine of the Bible. Once saved, always saved is not biblical. If we fall short, we seek grace and repent quickly, and in faith confess our sins and continue in our journey. Salvation is not a journey. It's not about a commitment. It's about a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is from the Mormon church. They say, we have been saved, but with conditions. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved by what? Obedience to the laws and the ordinances of the gospel. So they're saying obedience to God's laws. And when I interviewed Mormons in one of my films, I asked them, was Judas saved? Judas is a perfect example, Matt, of somebody that got saved and lost their salvation. Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a what? Was Judas ever saved? This is at the beginning of the ministry. He fell away. He lost his salvation. No, the Bible actually says that Judas was never saved at the beginning of Christ's ministry. This is from the Lutheran church. They say salvation can be lost. Once saved, always saved is a teaching that is contrary to our beliefs. Even though you may have accepted Christ fully and with all your heart, you can lose your salvation. From the Church of the Nazarene, from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, salvation can be lost. Go on any of these websites. You can verify what I'm saying. What do they all have in common? They all believe that everlasting doesn't mean everlasting, even though we defined it. Salvation is defined as eternal redemption. That is the definition of salvation. None of these other denominations are preaching this, and that's why they consider us heretics. They consider us, they'll say easy believism, once saved, always saved. I say to all of that, amen. I believe in easy believism, once saved, always saved, because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. David, they say, well, you got to make him Lord of your life to go to heaven. Let's answer just a few objections. You have to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, Jesus is the Lord. And if making Jesus Lord of my life was going to get me saved, then everybody would go to heaven. Do you know why? Because every knee will actually bow. And every tongue will confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. just confessing him as Lord doesn't mean you're saved. It's trusting his cross, relying wholly on him and him alone to take you into eternity with him. Think of the guy in the temple that was with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees said, well, I tithe of all that I have. I'm a good person. God notices me. What did the other guy say? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew that his righteousness was as filthy rags, and the only person who could take him to heaven was Jesus. Think of the thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Would you remember me, Jesus? We do not believe in the eternal security of the believer. No one can have assurance of salvation. Okay, wait a minute. We don't believe in eternal security. You can't have assurance of salvation. Do you see how the Episcopal Church is saying that these things are linked? If you want to have assurance of salvation, believe in eternal security. No one can have assurance. The Bible says, I've written unto you these things that you may know that you have eternal life. Those who rely only on faith in Christ risk the loss of eternal salvation. Do you see why Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. We kept it, Lord. We've cast out devils. Look, the Bible says no flesh should glory in his presence. I want to deal with one other thing. The most popular phrase in our Christian culture is repent of your sins. Now, I believe in repenting of sins. I think that's a good thing to do. If you have sin in your life, repent of that. Turn from your sins. But many people will say that to go to heaven, because they just want to find a way to add a little works in there somehow. So what they'll do is they'll twist the doctrine of repentance. The Bible says in Jonah 3:10, it says, and God saw their works, that they what? That they turn from their evil way. So if you're turning over a new leaf to try to get to heaven, God says that is works. That is a good work. But that's not going to get you to heaven. And notice what the Bible says. It says, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Did you know God repented more in the Bible than man? Most people don't know this. If you type in the word repent or repented, God repented more than man. Do you know what that means? Repentance doesn't mean you're turning all over a new leaf, giving up your old paths to follow Christ. It means that you're changing your mind from what you're trusting. Okay, I was trusting my goodness. I'm repenting and I'm trusting in Jesus. Some people say, I'm going to trust in my baptism. No, you need to repent of that and trust in Jesus. Some people say, I'm going to heaven because I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm repenting of my sins. Did you know the phrase repent of your sins is found not once in the Bible? But you know where the phrase repent of your sins is found? In the Book of Mormon. Notice this. Jacob, chapter 3, verse 8. This is not the Bible. It says, O my brethren, I fear that unless you shall repent of your sins, that their skins shall be whiter than yours. So not only is the Book of Mormon promoting racism, they would say that somebody like Sister Rose is not a good person, that she lived a bad previous life just because she has a darker shade of skin. It's literal racism. Not only that, they're saying that to go to heaven, this is what the Mormon church teaches, that you have to repent of your sins. The phrase repent of your sins is not found once in the Bible. God repented more in the Bible. What that means is you're simply changing your mind. You're turning from what you're trusting to trusting in Jesus. And if you go to any college campus and you ask somebody, what does repentance mean? Turn from sin. But who repented more in the Bible? God. Did God have to turn from sin? There is a confusion that has been brought in to the church today in different denominations that says you must repent of your sins. Well, you're making it about you and Christ at that point. It's either that Jesus did it. The thief on the cross didn't have enough time to turn from his sins. And by the way, just Lot committed horrible sins. Did he repent of all his sins? Was God the Lord of Lot's life all throughout his life? Was Jesus the Lord of David's life or of Saul's life? Of Moses' life when Moses took and shattered the Ten Commandments? People, many times, it goes against the wisdom of man. And again, I want to answer another objection. People will say, well, in order to be saved, and this kind of goes back to the Pentecostal church, they'll say you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Bible says. It says Peter, and this is the verse they take out of context. It says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, in order to go to heaven, you have to be saved and baptized for the remission of sins. False. What if I said, you're going to jail for stealing? That means you're going to jail because of stealing. What if I say, be baptized for the remission of sins? Do you know what that means? Be baptized because of the remission of sins. Do you see how easy that is to understand? But people and false prophets of the world today, they want to twist it and say, you have to be baptized to go to heaven. And that is not what the Bible says. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift. But notice here, it says repent. What does repent mean? Well, the very three verses later defines it. It says, and then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Do you see how repent and receive are used interchangeably? It doesn't mean that then they that gladly turned from their sins. It means that they that gladly repented received his word. Do you know why that says that? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave. What does that mean? It's a gift. If he says, I gave it, it's a gift. It's a godly gift. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, I got the gift of God, Matt, but it wasn't eternal life. Well, then you didn't get the gift of God. If you think Jesus can just save you temporarily, that's not the gift of eternal life. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not thou might be saved, not thou could be saved if you continue in faith. Thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's nothing that can separate you once you're saved from Jesus' love. And if you go to hell after that you've been saved, that's not the love of Jesus. That's the wrath or the hatred of Jesus. The Bible does say Jesus has hate. It's the wrath of the Lamb is the reason why people go to hell. He said he'll never turn his back on you. He says, my covenant shall I not break. This is an unpopular message. If I knocked on a door of a Mormon and I asked him, what do you got to do to go to heaven? They're going to say, repent of your sins. If I knock on the door of a Jehovah's Witness or a Pentecostal or any other denomination, you know what they're going to say? Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. But you have to repent of your sins. You got to give up your old paths. I believe you should give up your old paths, but that's not going to get you to heaven. You can't give up enough sins. You can't clean up your life enough. Look, Brother Treadway has always said, you don't clean a fish before you catch it. And if we're fishers of men, you can't tell people to turn from their sins to go to heaven when even saved people still have to turn from their sins every single day. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. How unworthy are we? Think of, and I'll end with this thought, think of how horrible it is. We see stuff going on, she was mentioning earlier, with Hamas. And these protests should make you angry that these people are standing with literal terrorists against our nation. They're spitting on the flag. They're burning American flags. They're promoting Saddam Hussein, Saddam Insane, right? They're promoting all of these crazy terrorists of the past. Our nation has lost its mind. How grievous is it to God that they would spit on our flag and how they would disregard our veterans who have died, who shed their blood. Our veterans, our World War II veterans shed their blood for this nation. But can you imagine if God's only son, only begotten son, gave himself a perfect sacrifice for sin and somebody here's the message, and they reject it, and reject it, and reject it, and reject it. Say, nope, I'm going to keep my own salvation, Lord. They reject it, and they reject it. Nope, I'm not going to let you in to give me eternal life. I'm going to keep it myself. And you hear that message, and God allowing his son to be butchered on a cross. You don't think that the wrath of God is going to be upon someone who rejects the ultimate sacrifice, greater than any sacrifice that's ever been made by any veterans. Lord bless them. better than any sacrifice of people giving their lives for each other? The ultimate sacrifice. You don't think God is going to have wrath when you hear the gospel and you reject it? Some people say, Matt, I'm going to heaven. And if there is a God, atheists always say, if there is a God, he's going to let me in because I haven't done anything too bad. A lot of people are going to stand before him and Jesus is going to say, why didn't you get saved? Why didn't you just trust me? Why didn't you trust me? And a lot of people will say, Lord, but we've done many wonderful works, just like we covered earlier. We've prophesied your name. We've done preaching in your name. Imagine rejecting the ultimate sacrifice. In this hopeless generation, atheists always tell me, how can there be a God? I've always ever heard this. How can there be a God when bad things happen on earth? Look, if evil exists, what must exist?
Good.
Where does good come from? God. If evil exists, that means that there must be good. And by the way, if there is no God, they say it's so horrible. Okay, well, if it's so terrible and there's no God, then there's no justice. Nothing will ever be fixed. So it's all hopeless. You know who the real problem of evil is for? It's for secular humanists. They say the problem of evil disproves Christianity. Do they have a solution for it? We have a solution. We don't have a problem of evil. Actually, evil benefits our worldview because it proves there's good. And if there's good, there's a moral lawgiver. If there's right, there's wrong. If there's wrong, there's right. Somebody said, Matt, there's no right or wrong. Well, is that right? Do people ever think about what they say? They say there's no right or wrong. If there's no right or wrong, how could that statement be right? Somebody told me the other day, there is no truth, Matt. Is that true? Because if it's true that there's no truth, how can the statement be true that there is no truth? People are so deceived today, and they're deceived on the gospel. On with this verse, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You're calling Jesus a liar by saying he's not giving you eternal life because he believeth not the record. What is the record? This is the record that God gave us, eternal life. If you don't believe that God gave you eternal life when you got saved, you don't believe God, you're calling him a liar, you're trusting your works. We're going to end with that. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. We don't have time for questions. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. I pray that if anybody's here and they're not saved, that they would trust you alone. And I pray for Pastor as he's going through this difficult time, that you keep him safe. Please help us as we go our separate ways later. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know.